Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Thursday to all of you. Nice to be with you. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. Appreciate you making the show a part of your day. My name is Sean Pendergast. His name is Seth Payne. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning. In this time of coronavirus and varying levels of shutdown.
Yes.
I had another one of those moments. I had one of those little panics at like 4 a.m. where I just realized how weird everything was.
Mm-hmm.
And I got kind of panicky about just the whole, you know what I don't like, Sean? Mm. I don't like everything being unsettled. I'm like a child. I like to have a certain routine, a certain rhythm to my life. Well, it's why football's been so good to me. It's not because of the money. It's not because of anything else. It's because every year since the time I was in fourth grade, I had something that I could kind of set my calendar by.
Structure.
Yes.
You had structure. Well, then if that's a big deal to you, you've been doing, as somebody who has spent probably as much time with you outside of your immediate family, you've been doing very, very well, it seems.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you seem to be handling things pretty well.
Yeah, I've been experimenting with a lot of drugs, and we'll see. You know, a lot of people say, hey, that's just a short-term fix, Seth. We'll see. We'll see about that. I know centuries of experience would tell you otherwise, but I might just be the guy that's got it all figured out.
This is going to sound selfish, but if it makes the show better, drug away. You know what I mean? Like I'm all about what brings in the money, baby.
You know, that's funny because obviously I'm joking about the drugs, kids. I'm completely joking about
clearly,
that.
Yeah.
But I will say, it's when it comes to creative types, like genuinely creative people, like musicians, the stuff that guys have done, I think it was Mick Jagger that was talking about how some of his best songs he wrote back when he was really messed up. But then you might be tempted to think like, oh, wow, I got to that place mm-hmm. with the use of drugs. But then he wrote some of his other very best songs when he was stone cold sober.
Yeah.
So
who knows?
I don't know what to tell you about that. There's no lesson learned other than, look, it's all meaningless. We're all headed for the grave at some point. Just hopefully you before me.
Yeah.
Not you, Sean, personally, but, everybody else.
Generally speaking, right.
Yeah.
Right. No, I got you. Segueing, I think J.J. Watt was drug-free when he did his press conference yesterday.
That's the one thing I was looking for. I was like, all right,
like he's on drugs.
Does J.J. look like Matthew McConaughey in Wolf of Wall Street? Does he look... What if JJ had come on the Zoom and his eyes were wide open and he looked like he weighed like 190 pounds?
He's tweaking out. He's like scratching himself. Yeah. I feel like a bug's crawling up my skin.
He's like, I'll tell you what, John, that's a great story. Listen, thump my chest. Come along with me, John McClane.
So good. To me, we're going to be playing a lot of JJ Watt hits today. It was a really interesting press conference. J.J. Watt, I don't know if he meant to do this, but I thought he gave us a lot, Seth, and in some ways gave us a lot by not giving us very much. I want to play a little bit of audio here. This, to me, was the biggest takeaway from the press conference yesterday, is I don't think yesterday was a great day for Bill O'Brien. And it's not like Bill O'Brien showed up at the press conference, and J.J. Watt rarely invoked the name Bill O'Brien in the press conference. I don't know if he said his name at all, but he was asked a few questions about him. I want to play this right here. The very first question out of the shoot, here's J.J. Watt on his defensive coordinator, Anthony Weaver.
Yeah, I love Weave. I think Weave is an incredible coach. I think he's a great man. I think that he
He's going to do an unbelievable job for us as D coordinator. I think that he has a great mixture of knowledge of the game, experience, but also personality to be able to handle the players in the room, to be able to inject some fun and excitement into meetings, practice, and everything, all while bringing the knowledge necessary to run a good defense. I think that he's done an incredible job with the D-line so far in doing those things, and I think he's going to do a great job as D-coordinator.
All right, so Seth, just keeping track here, I love Weaver. He used the word incredible twice. He used the word great three times. He has the personality to handle the defense. He injects fun into everything that he does coaching. Yeah. Those are all things that within about a 40-second span, J.J. Watt had to say about Anthony Weaver. Before I get your opinion on that, I want to go to the next question. A little later on in the press conference, J.J. Watt was asked, what makes Bill O'Brien a good leader, a good coach for this football team? And here was J.J. Watt's answer.
I think his job is to do just that, is to lead the team, is to obviously he's more of an offensive guy than a defensive guy. So it's to lead the overall team, but then to lead the offense. And now with his other roles as well, is to general manage, is to do everything within the organization. That's his role. And I think that's what obviously he excels at. So.
Yeah, obviously he excels at it.
Why is he good at what he does? Okay, go ahead.
Well, just to be clear, the question was what makes him a good leader, and then J.J. Watt proceeded to give a job description of what a head football coach does. And not even a head football coach, he said, like, well, he's more of an offensive guy than a defensive guy.
It almost felt like a scene out of, not The Office, but Office Space. Office Space, the movie, where the consultants come in, and instead of asking, hey, J.J., what do you provide for this organization? It was like those two guys in Office Space. For those kids that don't know, it's this movie where these consultants come in to try to help out a company, right, and basically everything falls apart because the employees don't give a damn.
Right.
It would be like JJ being asked by those two guys, like, so what does Bill O'Brien do for the team? Or why is he good at what he does?
Right.
And then he just gave, like, what he thinks his job description is. He, you know, well, he does stuff on the offense, and then he also does general managing type stuff, and there you go. And he must be good at it.
I retweeted a video to this answer that Rivers McCown put up. Seth, the audio itself, just after playing the Weaver and the O'Brien back-to-back, the audio itself stands up. Like, you can tell J.J. Watt what he thinks of Anthony Weaver as a coach and what he thinks of Bill O'Brien as a coach just from listening to the audio. I will point out, as somebody who was on that conference call, the Zoom call yesterday, and you can find the video on my Twitter timeline, I retweeted it. That was the only question, the second answer that Seth and I are kind of chopping up here on Bill O'Brien. That was the only question where J.J. Watt leaned back in his chair, took off his ball cap, started straightening his hair. I mean, J.J. Watt was poker-telling like crazy during that answer. He's straightening his hat out once he puts it back on. This is all within a matter of 23 seconds he's doing this stuff. J.J. Watt, and Seth, I'm going to go on the record. I don't think J.J. Watt is happy with the Bill O'Brien era right now.
Doesn't sound like you think he's a very good poker player either. I think that there's two things here.
I'm going to invite him to my next game, yeah.
I, you know what, though? I wonder, is it going too far to say he's not happy about the Bill O'Brien era, or would it be more that, look, he's been with O'Brien for going on 7 years now? 7 years, and,
Seth, he was with Romeo Crennel for about that same amount of time. He was asked about Rack during the press conference, and he had nothing but great things to say about Rack and how he's still in the building, yeah, and I still go to him for this and that.
He's been with Anthony Weaver a long time, too.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and spoke pretty gushingly of him. He, at one point, now we know DeAndre Hopkins says there was no relationship to speak of with Bill O'Brien. Yeah. It's not like we need these guys to be best buds with their head coach. But, yeah, the thing that struck me was the difference between Deshaun Watson's almost defiant defense of Bill O'Brien at the end of last season versus J.J. Watt right now. Which leads me to wonder, is it that Deshaun is just younger and, doesn't see maybe the same things or hasn't had the same things and experiences as J.J. Watt? Or is it that Deshaun is simply a better team player than J.J. Watt? Let's make that the topic for 4 hours today.
J.J. Watt, not a team player.
Is J.J. Watt a silent cancer within the locker room? And is he infecting Deshaun Watson?
That's right. I think a lot of it has to do with what you brought up with the clock ticking on J.J. Watt. He's 31 years old. Like, he's J.J. Watt, a Super Bowl is as important to him as he says it is, and I believe that it is. He's got to be looking at Bill O'Brien saying, is this guy putting a team together that's going to be able to win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years? And by the way, we'll get into this in the next segment. He ain't asking for a new contract, and I don't know if that has to do with him trying to maybe portray an image where, hey, I'm not the guy who's asking for a new deal with 2 years left because he's done it before, or if J.J. Watt's just going to play this thing out and maybe go get a Super Bowl somewhere else.
The part that was telling to me, or maybe that was interesting, it shouldn't be telling just out of one bit, but the fact that he pointed out, that J.J. pointed out that Bill O'Brien is an offensive coach, like that caught my ear, because I don't know, is if you're being the head coach, the general manager, and you know you were the offensive coordinator, even when another guy was named the offensive coordinator, is he genuinely acting like a head coach? This has been the concern, hasn't it been? That, okay, you're trying to be the general manager and the head coach, but still have your fingers in all the offensive pies. Are you actually taking care of your head coaching duties? Yeah. And that little chunk of audio, for whatever it's worth, didn't seem to lend any credibility to Bill O'Brien handling it all or covering it all. You know, I like to do players in New England think that Bill Belichick is, he's mostly a defensive guy?
Right,
hell
right,
no.
Right. Well, maybe that changes with Tim Kelly calling plays this year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's a big thing off of O'Brien's plate. Maybe he becomes more of that CEO. Will J.J. Watt pull a DeAndre Hopkins? That's next. J.J. Watt met with the media yesterday. He was asked about his contractual situation. He has 2 years, $33 million left on his deal. He's set to make $15.5 million this year. He has no dead money on his deal, so there is nothing guaranteed on his contract. I would be willing to bet that J.J. Watt will be on the Texans this year. I don't think he's going to be a cap casualty or anything.
But it would be an interesting discussion if there were a couple other like bona fide stud pass rushers. The Texans have some intriguing young guys, but nobody that's bona fide.
Yeah.
But yeah. And even then, it would just be we could conjure something up.
Right, right. Well, J.J. Watt was asked yesterday, because we know DeAndre Hopkins, big reason why he's not here anymore is he had 3 years left on his deal, and he had made a stink to management about wanting more money, according to Bill O'Brien. J.J. Watt asked, is he planning on anything contractually this offseason?
No. I don't think that's necessary. I think that I fully understand and respect the situation that I'm in at the moment, and what's happened in the past few years. So I'm not going to sit here and demand anything, because I'm going out there to prove what I'm worth. And I believe that's the right situation for everybody. I think if I went back and asked for an extension, more money, anything right now, I think that would be, the wrong move. And so I'm just going out there and trying to prove my worth and to help this team win games and do everything that I can to earn and make sure that these people know that I'm worth it.
Seth, I think you can construe that cut one of two ways. And I say this prefacing everything with, I think J.J. Watt loves being in Houston, and I think he loves being a Texan, and I think he loves what he represents to this organization in this city. You can read that one of two ways. You can read that quote as something, I don't think J.J.'s throwing shade at DeAndre Hopkins either, but you can take it at its face value, which is, hey, I've been injured. He alluded to the fact that he knows what's gone on the last few years. I've been injured, and I want to earn my next contract. Or I think you can construe it as, you know what, I'm not sure I want to be here longer than 2 years, and I want to play out my contract. I want to bet on myself, and I want to leave my options open for where I play football during the waning years of my career.
I think that I was surprised that some people thought that him being non-committal on that was somehow an indication that he wanted to get out of here. Do you realize how incredibly tone-deaf and stupid he would have to be to sit here and say, yep, it's time for them to pay me.
Right.
And like, he knows. He's been injured 3 out of the last 4 years. He gets the deal. He understands that the salary he's making this year is pretty good money. Like, I'm not sitting here saying like he should be happy to get whatever he gets, but he just knows that like he's not in a position to be clamoring for an extension, and it would be a bad look if he did. All this is, if anything, it was just an indication that, okay, J.J. hasn't sustained any head injuries in the last 2 weeks that would make him all of a sudden
delusional.
Yeah, and I know I kind of – our station tweeted this out and I posted it just because I was curious about the responses. I expected to see a whole bunch of people saying – Well, you know, see, look, he's not, he's different than Hopkins. He's different than Clown. He's not asking for more money. Like, no, JJ hinted very strongly that he wanted a new contract back before he got his $100 million deal. Remember when he broke that blocking dummy?
In Denver, sled? Yeah. It didn't even belong to the Texans. And he's like, boy, good thing I'm getting my commercial money here. I can afford it.
I think he said commercial money can't pay for everything.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. Yeah.
He cried pauper. That was enough. That was enough complaining there.
He got a contract like 2 weeks later.
Yeah. That was just any hint of discontent. Those were the good old days. It's not that he's, you know, better morally or anything than Jadeveon Clowney or DeAndre Hopkins. It's a flat out, he's not an idiot. He knows the deal. He's had a whole bunch of injuries. He's past the 30 mark, and he'll play this season, hopefully stay healthy, and then find out what happens after that.
Do you think the teams come to him about it, about doing a contract extension? I mean, we're sitting here talking about how tone deaf it would be for him to demand a new contract.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of reasons that the Texans might want to come to JJ, even with all the injuries, because when he hasn't been injured, he's still been great. He hasn't been 2014 great, but I don't know that anybody in the history of football has been 2014 Watt great. He's still better than 95% of the defensive players out there when he's healthy. Do you think there's a chance the team has come to him? Because there have been some articles written, Seth, about how, well, J.J. Watt's contract, if they did an extension with him, could actually be a mechanism to open up some cap space here.
It could be, but that's the kind of things that teams do when they're in trouble that they shouldn't do. Extending older players further off into the future. When you're not certain, like if they're not certain that they want JJ to be here in 3 years, then they shouldn't be pushing money off into the future. Like they've spent all their money. At this point, you're still at a point where you can say, all right, O'Brien was just being aggressive after a couple of years where the team wasn't that aggressive. They had built up cap space. They had built up some draft capital and he used it. This is the tipping point where if you were to start pushing older players' contracts off into the future, that's where you've gone whole hog financially irresponsible.
Right.
And that's when you start to get in trouble down the road. So I don't think that they're at that point right now because of JJ's injury history. I mean, can you sit here right now in 2020 and say, oh, yeah, 2 years from now, JJ will have been coming off of two healthy seasons and it'll be a damn shame that you didn't re-up him. I don't think you're there. So maybe next year when he's got 1 year deal left, 1 year on the deal left, they'll think about it. But I don't think right now is the time. Right now, it's the perfect scenario. You've got him on a contract that you're not beholden to him for the future. It's at a reasonable price. And if he's healthy, then yeah, he's hell on wheels, you know. And if he's not, it's a reasonable risk that you took to have him on the roster at this salary.
I think there's way more to read into JJ's answer that we played in the open about Bill O'Brien than there is his contractual answer. I think the contractual answer is more surface level truth than the answer about what he thought of Bill O'Brien as a leader, which was basically the job description of a head coach on Monster.com with about six poker tells while he's giving the answer.
You know, the other thing too is like JJ, this is what happens when you get to this stage of your career. JJ at this point, given all the injuries he's had, there's a really good chance that he doesn't want to think about where he's going to be locked up 3 years from now. You know, and for him to go and ask for a new deal, that would mean he's making a decision on saying, well, yeah, I want to play football for 3 or 4 more years. Yeah, or I'm going to be in a position where I have to retire, and I don't think the Texans would make him pay back any money if he did retire, but it's not what he wants to think about right now. He's just trying to take it one day. It's hard, man. When you get into your 30s and you start thinking about long-term contracts and you've already got a certain amount of money in the bank, a long-term commitment feels like you're like agreeing to an arranged marriage or something. You know, like I don't know where I'm going to be 3 years from now. I don't want to make that commitment.
JJ has generated as much text activity between 6 and 6:30 as we've had in a long, long time. JJ said, screw Houston, Chicago food is better. He did
That's
allude
Dave
to that.
Text, I think.
Kalia is up in Chicago right now working out for her soccer team. JJ, don't, this is not paved text. JJ, don't let the door hit you on the way out to Green Bay. And then a third texter, the quote, obviously he excels at everything about O'Brien is a dead giveaway that he hates O'Brien. We'll play that audio again for you here as we roll on in the morning.
The one thing, if JJ had said, for those of you who didn't hear it, we'll play it again.
Yeah.
Somebody asked JJ, why is Bill O'Brien a good head coach?
Let's play it right here, real quick.
Okay, here we go.
Let's play it right here. Ben, if you can pull it up, here's the quote. Why is Bill O'Brien a good head coach for this team?
I think his job is to do just that, is to lead the team, is to obviously he's more of an offensive guy than a defensive guy, so it's to lead the overall team, but then to lead the offense, and now with his other roles as well, is to general manage, is to do everything within the organization. That's his role, and I think that's what obviously he excels at. So
there you go, Seth.
Obviously, that's what he excels at. It was one step shy of saying, well, Cal must think he excels at that. That's what it felt like. That's what I heard.
Now, that would have been some heat.
He gave a job description. Hey, Seth, why is your father an awesome father? Well, he, provided the sperm for me to be born, and then that was the thing, you know? And he must have been good at that. Yeah. Wow, it's a ringing endorsement.
Proof that Bill O'Brien has become the fantasy owner that everyone is trying to make a trade with. I'll have that for you next.
I mean, that would be obviously a goal of mine. I mean, the city has been incredible to me since the day I got here. I'm very thankful and fortunate to have the opportunity to play for such great fans and have supported not only myself, my foundation, and everything that I've tried to accomplish. So it's a great place. I certainly hope that's the case. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't say what's going to happen in the future, but I certainly hope that that's the case.
That's J.J. Watt talking about wanting to finish his career in Houston, and Houston has been home for him. So there you go. As we dig into some of the things that J.J. Watt said yesterday, that was the last question of the press conference yesterday, Seth, was do you want to finish your career in Houston? And I think J.J. Watt wants to finish his career here. I think there's a lot that goes into that, though. You know what I mean? Like, the contracts go into it. The ability to win a Super Bowl. Is this team going to be better in 2021 than they are in 2020? I think you can make a case that they've set themselves up to where that 2020 is going to be a better team than they're going to be able to put on the field in 2021, just because of where they're at with the cap and how little draft capital they have at the top of the draft going into the next couple years.
Yeah, I think that, you know, whether JJ wants to be here or not, it's a conversation that is probably for whatever reason, I'm reading this article on some Chicago fan site where they just take it for granted that JJ doesn't want to be here in Houston anymore, and that might be an impetus for a trade because JJ doesn't want to be here. So I don't know where people are getting that from. Based on there isn't even a report out there. It's really a whole lot of conjecture, I suppose. But I think that JJ's at a spot in his career where he genuinely, it's not a cliche, he's worried about this year. Like, that's the mode he's been in for the last four seasons because of his injuries.
Yeah.
That he really is just trying to make it through this season. And probably, if it got to be a year or two from now and the Texans came to him and started saying, hey, we're considering this or we're considering that, it wouldn't surprise me if he was open to a change of scenery, especially if Bill O'Brien doesn't do a good job this year. Maybe I'm a schmuck. I just take it at face value. When a guy that's 31 years old and has had some major, major injuries in the last few years talks about his future, it really genuinely usually is, hey, this is a year by year thing, and I'm just trying to make it through this year.
You would know. I'm not saying you're JJ Watt, obviously. You know, like that's, you've been in that situation before.
Right, yeah, and I don't want to say beggars can't be choosers, because, like, JJ's obviously not a beggar.
Right.
But he also knows that, he's not at that stage in his career anymore where if he wanted to, he could choose his own destiny, necessarily. You know, depending on, he's going to have to make a decision if he ever does become a free agent or has the option to leave, perhaps, like, okay, the teams that I'm going to want to really go to might not be willing to pay me nearly as much money as a team like the Bengals or somebody, and I'm going to have to go for that championship. And that's what you have to worry about is it's not that it, you don't have to worry about whether he likes Bill O'Brien or not. You don't have to worry about whether he even likes the city of Houston or not. The only thing you have to worry about as a Texans fan is a year or two from now, does J.J. Watt still think that the Texans have a viable chance of winning a championship under Bill O'Brien? Because if he doesn't, there's a good chance he'll find his way out of town. You know, and it won't be that when guys are in their 30s, that's when they're closest to the truth when they say that they're not making the decisions based on the money. So many, because we've seen this time after time, guys take less money to go to New England or Seattle or wherever else.
Well, especially when you've been on a team that's won 4 playoff games total in the decade that you've been here, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is, it's not a team, it's not one of those things where JJ's like, well, I got close. You know, I made it to a Super Bowl, but we lost. We made it to a bunch of AFC title games, and we just couldn't get over the hump. This is an organization that struggled to get out of the second round of the playoffs. Struggled. They haven't gotten out of the second round of the playoffs. They've struggled as much as you possibly can in getting out of the second round of the playoffs since JJ got here. JJ was asked about the Texans offseason and what he's thought of the what he thought of the moves that have been made this offseason. Here was his answer yesterday.
Yeah, I mean that's why people have jobs in those positions. That's the coaching staff, general managers, the front office. That's their job. My job is to play the game and to do it to the best of my ability. I have to answer to my job and they answer to their job. So that's my job. I go out there and I play the game and I try and help us win football games. They try and put the team together that they feel is best for us to win football games. We each answer the bell to our own calls.
That wasn't the one where he said that's above. Did he say that's above my pay grade at the beginning of that?
I don't know that he said that. I don't know that he said that's above my pay grade during the press conference.
Okay. Yeah. That was a classic, like, that's above my pay grade type of comment.
That was the only answer that fits that mold that you're talking about.
I'm submitting at this point that I think that players like JJ, when they do say above my pay grade, he must have said that earlier in the year. When stuff like that, I'd like them to start saying that's below my pay grade. Because like for the star players, they make way more money than Bill O'Brien or Jack Easterby.
Right.
Those decisions are literally below JJ's pay grade. The players that make that much money generally are also not the guys. They're not player coaches. They're not making those shots.
He's got the biggest 2020 salary of anybody in the building. So yeah, the pay grade thing is a funny literal thing. Let me ask you this, Seth. If the Texans had a killer offseason, would JJ have given the same answer? Like if they had been on the good end of some of these deals, you know what I mean? Like if they had gotten the equivalent of DeAndre Hopkins for a second round pick, if they had gotten the equivalent of, you know, whatever other good trades were out there, basically if they were on the other end of all the moves the Texans made this offseason, would JJ Watt have had an opinion on that?
It's really, really, really hard for players to talk about offseason moves and acquisitions. And this is why. It's because anything you say positive about, like, let's say the receiving core or whatever, is also going to be perceived by certain fans, certain sports media members, whatever, as a slight against DeAndre Hopkins or as a slight against anybody else. So it's really hard. You're kind of caught between two worlds when somebody asks you about offseason moves. And you want to be the good soldier and be loyal to the team and everything. But you'd also love to be able to say, like, yeah, you know what? But I love DeAndre Hopkins, and it sucks that he's gone.
Yeah.
But you can't – because you can't say that, you kind of have to temper what you say on the positive side of things too. And then the other side of it too is just the simple, look, every year offseason moves are made. Every year there's a draft. And the longer you spend in the business, you realize, like, okay, look, a lot of stuff I get excited about in the offseason ends up being crap.
Yep.
A lot of guys that I don't think a second thought about end up being stars the next year. So we're going to roll into the season and get ready to play.
Yeah, nobody knows anything. You know what I mean? Like, nobody knows anything. Now, the offseason that the Texans have had has brought one of the, I guess, the side effects of the offseason the Texans have had, Seth, is it has turned conjecture and trade rumors, not trade rumors, but I guess sort of trade proposals from different websites and stuff like that, odds makers looking at moves the Texans could make. The Texans are all of a sudden viewed, I think, Bill O'Brien particularly as a general manager, they're viewed as that fantasy owner that if you're looking to pilfer somebody, if you're looking to make a deal, you call that guy because he might make the deal. He might just be crazy enough to do it. And this was sent to us yesterday by a loyal listener named Patrick, who sent this article from a Chicago blog on FanSided. I believe it's DoWindyCity.com.
DoWindy City, which very responsible headline here, which says Chicago Bears rumors, 3 trade packages for J.J. Watt.
Right.
So you would think, oh, wow,
right.
These are 3 rumors that somebody has heard about potential trade packages? Now this is some jackass just coming up with his own proposal.
It's what Bleacher Report used to be like 4 years ago or 6 years ago or whatever, where it was just people writing for free on there, and and there. So, yeah.
These rumors are the rumor. This would be like me, like Sean. Have you heard the rumors?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Here we
go. That's because I'm about to put one out into the universe. Yeah. Okay, here's the rumor.
Yeah, yeah. In Chicago, it goes Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, DoWindyCity.com.
Yeah.
So, but the three proposals we threw out there, and we're not going to dive deep into these, but J.J. Watt and a six-round pick for Bilal Nichols, a defensive lineman, and a third-round pick. J.J. Watt for just a second-round pick is their second proposal, and then Watt and a six for Roy Robertson-Harris, who's a linebacker, and a second-round pick. So these are things that these blogs are throwing against the wall, putting out there as rumor, and part of the reasoning behind it is they basically just say, hey, I'm going to paraphrase, but they basically just say, hey, Bill O'Brien might be crazy enough to agree to one of these things. Like, the first trade they do, Seth, here, where it's the Bears get J.J. Watt and a sixth for this Bilal Nichols character and a third, that's practically the Clowney trade. You know what I mean? Like a third-round pick and a reserve for one of the best defensive players in football. The second one is practically the DeAndre Hopkins trade, one of the best players in football for a second-round pick.
And I guess the question would be, all right, it's hard to actually figure out J.J.'s trade value at this point right now. And that's why the Texans should be happy to have the deal they have with him, is because of his injury history. He's making a lot of money as a base salary, but they're not tied to him. They don't have a bunch of dead money to it.
Great
value. A good deal for them, which is why it would be dumb for them ever to just try to trade him away for chicken scratch.
Right.
I guess I'm not as – I don't – would trading J.J. for a second-round pick, the biggest problem I would have with it, Sean, isn't as much about what the actual compensation is. It's that you're trading him at the beginning of a season for something that's not going to help your team until next season.
Yeah.
That's a move towards the future when, you know, you've got J.J. here. He's not disgruntled. Like, he's ready to play, but you're going to go ahead and trade him away. The one really viable pass rusher you have right now, you're going to trade him away for draft picks and some bro from Chicago?
Right.
No.
No, that's definitely not a move to be made now. I do think that, depending on how 2020 goes, both for the Texans and for J.J., this could be a topic next offseason because the Texans are bereft of draft capital at the top. I think one of the goals for Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, not in next offseason, but really throughout time between now and the next draft, is to find a way to get a pick in the first or second round. I think they're doing some things to accumulate a little back-of-the-end draft capital. They still got eight picks. The problem is they don't start till 10 o'clock on Friday night. You know what I mean? They start in the mid to late, presumably in the mid to late third round if they have a season where we think they're going to finish, if it's not going to be a catastrophic season. So I do think that it's a conversation. I hope it's a conversation that's not had next offseason, because it will mean that the Texans had a good year and J.J. had a good year. But I think there's a chance that next season you go, hey, J.J., for a second, we might do that, depending on how the season goes.
I'm looking at this Roy Robertson-Harris, and I think it looks like he might have played all of about 200 snaps last year.
Right. He would be the Jacob Martin of this trade.
Yeah, this guy, like, these are. So that offer was J.J. Watt for Roy Robertson-Harris and a sixth rounder.
And a second rounder.
What's that?
J.J. and a sixth for Roy Robertson-Harris and a second.
Oh, in the article it says okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. So,
No. This says that they can trade that pick. Okay, all right. I'm done with this article. This guy, I can't.
Yeah, I didn't want to do a deep dive on these trade proposals. I'm just saying, this is what's coming out of the woodwork now because O'Brien has basically put up a "We're open for business" sign on NRG Stadium for almost any deal. I don't know if he's done that, but it's created the perception that the Texans will do almost anything.
Look, okay, you did this once before with Jadeveon Clowney, where you traded him for a couple players, yes. And I know Jacob Martin is the next Michael Strahan, according to everybody, including Bill O'Brien. Like, don't judge these trades for three more years. But by the way, did you see Jacob Martin had three sacks?
Right.
Yeah. And I am excited about Jacob Martin. Oh, Barkevious Mingo too. Remember how fruitful and productive that trade was? He's gone. So.
Yeah, he's on the Bears now.
Yeah, he's on the Bears. They could trade Barkevious Mingo to the Texans for J.J. Watt.
Let's get him back.
That's what they could do.
We got Barkevious back.
Really, the biggest issue with the Clowney trade was that you traded him for a good player at the beginning of a season for a draft pick that you weren't going to be able to use until later on. So it was – and you know, Sean, you know how I feel about NFL coaches these days. honestly, I think NFL coaches have gotten too soft. They're so obsessed with having this pure and pristine, unadulterated culture. Like, they've elevated the word culture to this status because they've read too many books and seen too many motivational speakers in the offseason, to where they, current NFL coaches are not tough enough to handle a little bit of discontent on their team. So, Clowney's not going to be happy, but he's going to show up and play. Oh, no, we can't have that. Trade him away for a draft pick. DeAndre Hopkins might not be happy. Oh, no, get rid of him immediately. Whatever it takes, we're going to get rid of him. All these things, it's life in the NFL. People are unhappy. There's discontent on every Super Bowl champion for the last 50 years. There have been a couple players that are disgruntled for some other reason. Get the hell over it. So, to trade JJ away for a draft pick at this point, where that draft pick is not going to help your 2020. You know what? Before I even check the text line, I'll go back and I'll say they did use that draft pick to get Gerrion Conley.
They did.
So they were able to use it immediately. If you want to look at it that way.
Yeah.
So that's the one check mark. If somehow you did it for a draft pick and you use that draft pick for good instead of evil, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I think there's zero chance they trade JJ before the season, and I think there's a like 20% chance that this becomes a topic after the 2020 season. Here's the other example, Seth, of the Bill O'Brien open for business sale at NRG Stadium popping up in the odds maker world. I don't know if you've seen this. They put out odds, one of the big websites out there that puts odds out on these things, put out odds on where Jamal Adams, the Pro Bowl safety for the New York Jets, winds up playing in week one of the 2020 regular season. We know that the Jamal Adams is looking to get a big contract. He's eligible for a contract extension. He's looking to get paid. The Jets have kind of dug in, and now it's a little acrimonious between the two sides. Here are the teams in order of the shortest odds on down. New York Jets, his current employer, minus 200. So they're a very heavy favorite. Next team on the board, Dallas Cowboys, plus 450. That makes sense. Jerry Jones loves to make big splashes, right? Next team on the list, Houston Texans, plus 550. There is, the Texans don't have anything left to trade for Jamal Adams, right? Like they've traded their first-round picks. I don't know that they have the cap space to give him the deal that he wants once he comes over here. There's no good reason to have the Texans even on this list, let alone third on the list. Plus, they've got Justin Reed, who's already a pretty good safety, who my guess is they want to pay, if he has a big year, they want to pay him this coming offseason. So that's another example of kind of just the ethos of the offseason for the Texans has created this. The YOLO Bill is the reason why they're third on this list, Seth.
There are two things, and this is where I alternate between, you know, wanting to be angry with Bill O'Brien, but then also wanting to angrily defend Bill O'Brien. It's that no matter what trade the next trade is for the Texans, it's going to be immediately shouted down as a horrible trade, right? Like, I almost feel like a bunch of people already have the tweets loaded. They already have the articles written, and they just need to do a Mad Libs with it. They're like, we'll insert the name of a player here, insert a contract term here, and we'll say this is exactly why Bill O'Brien is bad for football and this, that, the other thing. And I would say, to his credit, I don't know if Bill O'Brien doesn't care, or it's just he's not going to let it stop him. At least the next trade's going to be a really interesting one. I'm waiting for the next trade to be one where you feel like, okay, you know what? You know what? The Texans took advantage of a team that was kind of in desperate straits here instead of the other way around.
Do you think there's more trades coming?
Well, and by the way, I would say that as far as the Texans, in the Brandon Cooks trade, I agree with a lot of people would say that it's weird how the Texans got so much scrutiny for that and the Rams got almost nothing.
Yeah.
When the Rams ate more dead money than anybody's ever eaten before, and it was a bad deal for the Rams. So I feel like the Texans, in that respect, did take advantage of the Rams, who had a distressed asset that they couldn't afford to just kind of see it through.
The Rams ate more dead money in that deal than the Steelers ate in the Antonio Brown deal.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown, who's chucking furniture off of balconies, doing all sorts of things, malcontent kind of things, making noise on social media, like all the reasons you would want to get rid of a guy. Like he is the classic case of we just got to get rid of the guy. They ate more money trading Brandon Cooks, who is, you know, basically just he's a good citizen who's been concussed a lot of times.
You know what I've realized, Sean, as we just talked through that? Yeah. I'm in a dysfunctional relationship with Bill O'Brien. I'm like all my friends are telling me, and I know myself, like, no, you can do better than him. And I know it in my heart, but there's some part of me that's just like, but yeah, but he's got good in him too. You guys just don't see it. You guys don't understand. You know, like when all us girls are sitting around having our slumber party and they're like, Seth, he's so mean to you. Right. Seth, he's done this to your team and everything. I'm like, yeah, but you guys don't know what he's like when we're alone.
That's what I feel. Have you floated the idea of therapy for you and Bill?
He's not into it. No. He's an Irishman from New England.
He's old school.
He keeps his emotions bottled up until they burst out like a volcano.
Until they explode on a fan who yells at him in week 14 of the regular season.
We went to a therapist, actually. Bill and I went to see a counselor, and 3 minutes into it, he was yelling at the counselor.
You suck too!
You suppress too! You suppress too, MF-er!
You're
suppressed
up.
Too!
You're bottled up!
You're deflecting.
As we head into the 7 o'clock hour, let's shift gears for a
minute.
You're
sublimating your desire for the lost relationship with your father the way and the unkept promises that teachers made you along the way. You're the one doing all that. MF-er.
You got to drop that in at the end. MLB players are getting ready for their counter proposal. Why this standoff is not ending anytime soon. We'll get into that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.